From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Yesterday, a girl in New Hampshire celebrated her 7th birthday. But not long ago, she was playing the role of a mother instead of a little girl. She was forced to take care of herself and her 2 younger brothers. Now they've been through the foster care system and they've found a home. New Hampshire Public Radio's Dan Gorenstein has the story of this girl whose first instinct is to take care of everyone else. It's an impulse that helped her and her brothers survive.
Our story begins just after twilight in a small New Hampshire city on a kind of busy street in a 2-story house where a 7-year-old girl named Lexi.
This is our house.
And her little brothers George and Keegan live with their adoptive parents, Rebecca and Doug. And in this house, typical things happen all the time. Kids come home from school.
What are you doing, monkey?
The family eats together.
George, milk or juice?
Kids get wound up right at bedtime.
All right, munchkins, it's time for bed.
But things also happen here that aren't typical. Rebecca remembers Lexi and the apples.
When we hit 3 apples, I think, was when she would start to panic because she knew there was only 1 each left for her and her brothers.
Lexi's got a gift that's really more of a curse. When she was 4, Lexi had to take care of her little brothers. There really wasn't anyone else around. Rebecca, a social worker, is the type who runs toward the hard cases everyone else backs away from. She guesses what their world, an apartment 20 miles away, must have looked like.
I imagine it probably was not a very clean place. Lexi told me there was always dirty diapers on the floor.
Rebecca isn't certain about this, but she's pretty sure that, along with their mom, Lexi's dad was around on weekends. There were grandparents up the street, and that's the mystery of it all. It seems that, for all of the adults around, none of them was really looking after these kids.
They were left alone, sometimes days at a time. I think that she ended up definitely taking the primary role in the household, keeping it running.
Who used to take care of your brothers?
Me.
Oh, really? What'd you do? So what did you have to do for them?
I fed them when they were very, very hungry, and I had to put the bib on them.
Did you change your diapers? Yeah. Was that hard?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how the house didn't catch on fire, and she wouldn't have known how to call 911 or to get help from anybody.
Ultimately, they did get help.
I believe they were found by the police outside, playing in the street by themselves.
Rebecca and Doug adopted Lexi and her brothers in the summer of 2009. The kids had just finished a 10-month run through the foster care system. Now, they finally had a home and a mom and a dad. At that point, George and Keegan were toddlers. They weren't potty trained. They ran out of control and swore like sailors.
Keegan was 2 at the time, and I didn't even know all the words that he knew. Up all the time, you whore, you.
But considering everything, the boys were doing okay.
The boys had a caretaker. They had Lexi.
Lexi wasn't as lucky, and it showed.
The first picture we saw of Lexi, she had what looked like kind of a mohawk off-center on the top of her head. There were like patchy areas everywhere. It was an anxiety disorder. She pulls her hair out by the roots, and sometimes she ate it afterwards.
From the start, Rebecca and Doug surrounded her and her little brothers with warmth, love, and routine. But Lexi had real trouble letting go of that sense of responsibility for everything. She told Rebecca her mother needed her back at the apartment.
About a month after she moved in with us, she started sobbing hysterically and shaking, and she said, if I was just better at taking care of the boys, we would never have been taken away.
Lexi didn't call George and Keegan her brothers. They were my boys.
She felt like they were hers more than they were anyone else's. Do you remember the day that where she started crying and said, thank you for taking care of my boys?
Yeah.
We were put in her bed one night. She just stopped and she was crying and she just said, thank you for taking care of my boys. And Doug and I just burst into tears.
Lexi went around picking up after the boys. Lexi tried to put George and Keegan in time out. And all along, Rebecca and Doug kept telling her that wasn't her job. But she couldn't help herself.
One story that your mom told me is that sometimes you would come downstairs to the kitchen at night. And you'd get food, and you'd wake up your brothers. Did that happen?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
They were hungry.
forcing her brothers to wake up and eat in the middle of the night wasn't a gentle, nurturing act from a big sister. It was more about a terrified little girl used to feeding her brothers.
I think that she thinks that her value as a person is in her taking care of other people. Therapists and psychologists I've talked to have said, you know, this was a role that she had and was actually taken away from her when she moved in with us, and we no longer allowed her to do everything for everybody else. So it's taken a while for us to realize that she needed to have things that she could do that still would make her feel valued and able to contribute.
What should I do it at, Mama?
500.
Like helping Rebecca cook and setting the table.
I'm putting the forks out.
Sometimes the love and nurturing pays off. Lexi doesn't feel she needs to protect her brothers. When apples run low, she doesn't freak out. Still, that terrible sense that she has to take care of everything, the gut instinct that helped her and her brother survive, eats at her. That dread is weighed heaviest on her when Lexi gets together with her birth mother. The adoption agreement stipulates a monthly call with 2 visits a year. The families have had a lot more contact than that.
We really feel like it's very, very important that the birth family stay in their lives. I feel like it's questions that a lot of children will have about where did I come from and how did I get here are more easily answered.
It's a fine line Rebecca and Doug are walking. They want to preserve the link with the birth mom, but the mother got pregnant, tweaking Lexi's caretaking instinct. The girl was convinced if she didn't return home, the baby would die. After that pregnancy, the birth mother got pregnant again. Rebecca remembers the visit when Lexi got the news.
Lexi's head kind of jerked back like somebody had just slapped her across the face. And her birth mom said to her, well, what do you think? Are you excited? And Lexi said, yeah, I'm happy, and then ran off to the playground.
Before the holidays, Rebecca and Doug set up another visit. It didn't go well.
She's gone back to peeing her pants a lot. She's gone back to throwing tantrums. So we're seeing a lot of backwards progression from this.
Rebecca knows there's little she can do to soothe Lexi's guilt about her birth mom. She hopes she can at least show Lexi how a mother-daughter relationship should work.
What did you think? I'm a girl. A girl who has everything.
Recently, to reward a string of positive school reports, Rebecca took Lexi out for one of her favorite things.
Mommy time! Me, mommy time!
They treated themselves to pedicures and manicures at the spa. In those moments, Rebecca catches Lexi just being a little girl, getting her nails painted.
Ow.
Or fixing her hair before school.
She's in there putting her hair up in ponytails and putting barrettes in.
Ew, yeah. My hair's a mess.
Over the last year and a half, Lexi's hair has grown in. It's down to her shoulders.
She's just a girl who wants an average life. She wants to be the princess.
Fire girl.
She wants to be the fashion star.
Police girl.
You know, she wants to be a mom someday.
Do you want to be married?
Yeah.
You gonna have kids?
Yes.
How many?
18.
I asked her when she grew up, you know, what she thought her husband was going to be like, and she said, I don't know, but he's not going to cut up my clothes and throw my computer out the window.
And with that, Rebecca is reminded her daughter's not out of the woods. For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein in Concord, New Hampshire.
You're listening to All Things Considered.